Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joey. Stay tuned.
Everybody, welcome to Live from the Bay with Joey. This is Joey. We're going to have a great, fantastic evening for you. Make sure you call your friends and your neighbors, all right? So listen, if you want to talk to Lori Bruno, Phil Wyman, myself, make sure you call in now on to the number. Some of you have already called. We thank you so much. It's time to call again. 347-308-8062. Again, 347-308-8062. You can also Skype in. Okay, before we do our hot topics that we're going to do at the beginning, I'm going to bring on well-known Italian strega, Magi, elder priestess of our Lord and Lady of the Trinacrian Rose Church of Salem, Massachusetts. I always have a hard time with that name. Owner of Magica in Salem, Massachusetts, Lori Bruno, and from Salem as well, Pastor Phil Wyman from the Gathering Church, who is not only a pastor of a somewhat controversial church, but a musician and a business owner, participant in Burning Man Rainbow Festivals, and a friend and dialoguer with the pagan community of Salem, Mass. Welcome, both of you, to Live from the Bay with Joey. How is everyone?
Everyone's well.
Good.
I'm doing fine.
Are you doing good?
Great. I am, and I'm glad to be on here with Lori.
Yeah, and yeah, we're glad to have her here, and as you know, we've had quite a few people calling in. You know, something really interesting happened. We are a featured show, and I'm a featured host on Blog Talk Radio. However, this show today was picked up by Blog Talk Radio as a staff pick. So how do you like them apples?
Very wonderful. Thank you.
I know. And so that means that this show, the homepage, there were hundreds upon hundreds of people that probably wanted their show picked. And, you know, this one was one of them that got picked. And we also know, or some of you do not know, that today is Lori Bruno's, one of her grandmothers. This would have been her birthday. So when we were choosing a day to do this, you know, we had a choice of different dates, and I tried to arrange them with Phil and with Lori. This was one of the days. And Lori said, nah, we got to do it that day because that's my grandma's birthday. Yeah. So anyway, this is what we did, and this is the way it was supposed to be. And so we just thank you both for being with us on somewhat of maybe a controversial show, but you know what? It's going to be an eye-opening show, and it's going to be something that people need to hear about and understand. And what better way than two people that are very well-known in the Salem community? So I'm going to come back at you guys in a little bit. We're going to talk about what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about some hot topics. I'm going to talk a little bit about them. And you're going to be listening to my little rant, and then I'm probably going to do a couple of them. Now, if you guys want to comment on both, that's fine. If you just want to comment on one of them, that's fine as well. So I'll come back to you. So how it's going to be is I'm going to do a little bit of my rant right now, and then we're going to bring you guys back on. How does that sound? Is that good? I guess so. Okay, so listen, folks. So I think Jam and we're going to mute them, and then we're going to come back to them, okay? So before we go ahead and do that, Jam and I think it's time we just crank it up as Joey just rants, okay?
We're just going to crank it up, crank it up.
Okay, so I guess my first rant here is it's really a sad, very sad, tragic story that we're all talking about. What we know happened in Boston yesterday. So this was very, it's just a sad, sad story. I can't even jamming. Did you have a chance to check out the story and to hear about it? I mean, it's just so tragic and sad, right?
Oh, yes, I did. I was listening to it on many different stations, and there were a lot of coverage on that. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was really bad. So, you know, and the really bad thing about this is that, you know, in somewhat of a day of celebration that they had before that in that area, that something like this had to turn what could have been a great day into really a tragic day. And there's two deaths, one of an 8-year-old child and the other is a 29-year-old girl. And, I mean, these tragic occurrences should have never, ever happened. And as I was thinking about it today and praying for those families and praying for the people, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that justice will be served. You know, it will be served. When you start messing around with people and you start messing around with human beings and you start, you know, bringing in your negative and evil trash in and you start bombing and you start trying to kill and it involves children and people, human beings that have families and friends, you know, there is a spiritual presence out there that is far greater than any of this stuff. And, you know, I personally believe that the Lord's justice will be in this and they will find who the perpetrators are. And you know what? If this was some kind of set thing or, you know, people were walking around with backpacks and somebody else was hitting a little switch and then the whole thing, whatever, you know, happens. And if there are a couple of people that were involved or more than a couple of people, it doesn't matter. The thing is that these people will be sought out. And I really believe that this will happen. I think we'll probably all be kind of a little bit taken back and shocked by what we're going to find out. But you know what? Nonetheless, justice will be served. So this is one of my things. I just could not even imagine something like this happening, you know, with what our country has had to suffer with. And right now, with this whole thing going on with the North Korea threat and et cetera, Jam. And, you know, this is just very, very, very sad, you know?
It definitely is. There's wars, rumors of wars, and all kinds of things. It seems like in our modern age of technology, everybody knows everything about everything. Anybody can make a bomb. Anybody can be totally tuned in to cause whatever problem they want.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, that just blows my mind. Okay, listen, so here's the thing, CVS Pharmacy, I don't know if you heard me, wants workers' health information or they'll have to pay a fine. So get a load of this. They're going to have to, they don't want heavy set people, I guess, utilizing theirs. I don't know what they're thinking, but basically, if you're overweight or, you know, have high body fat, your glucose levels are way out, you're going to have to be tested. And if you do not comply, you will pay an extra $50 per month or $600 per year. You know, when I thought about this and when I heard about it, because I get any meds that I have to get, my high cholesterol, whatever, high blood pressure, that's what I have, through them. And I thought about this. I thought, you know what, being that I've been involved in the medical industry for years, this was really alarming to me. Not only was it alarming to me, it was invasive. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Jammin'?
Absolutely. I mean, how much invasion of privacy is there going to be? What's next?
Unreal, right? Unreal.
Absolutely.
Unreal.
Absolutely.
So, you know what? I mean, if this is what CVS wants to do, then I guess. But I hope this is not setting some kind of standard because it's really an invasion on people's privacy. And I'm going to tell you right now, thank God for Obama's health care reform coming up in 2014, what he wants to do. And some folks will probably be disagreeing with me on this. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have to get insurance independently – and you've had any preconditions, such as high blood pressure, whatever, and say you're laid off from work or whatever, and you go to Cobra, you know, or whatever you go to, or you're seeking out independent healthcare, especially when you're seeking out independent healthcare, because what you'll get from your employer is going to be quite high when you leave that company and you still want that same healthcare. If you try to go independently, let me tell you, they're going to put you through an unbelievable amount of questioning. And if you have a pre-existing condition right now, they can turn you down. They can say, hasta la pasta, bye-bye. And so, folks, you know, this is my big thing right now is I just believe in protecting the patient, the patient's rights. I protect, you know, and I am for what Obama is going to be bringing to the table in 2014. So we're grateful for that. So anyway, those are a couple of rants that I have right now. So now what I'm going to be doing is bringing Lori Bruno back on, and I want to see what Lori wants to talk about. Lori, have you been listening to me rant?
It's not a rant. It's the truth. And truth is, I like the word truth because it's T is a sword, R-U-T, and the other T is another sword.
Yep.
And are you there? Yes, you are there. So it's, the word truth is a sword. And that's a sword that cuts through many obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened to the little boy who's 8 years old? His name is Martin Richards out in Dorchester. He lives with his wonderful mother, who's a librarian in the school that he attended, the neighborhood school there, and his little sister who's lost a leg, and the mother who's suffering with something in the brain. This is a family that I've heard so much about.
Yes.
Wonderful family, lived together, played together, everything together. Wonderful little boy in school, student, and the principal, the headmaster, was speaking of him today on the news. May the gods in the heaven rest his soul, and Archangel Michael use his sword to find the culprit who did this to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The other girl is from Medford, Massachusetts, Sister Campbell, and may her so rest in peace, and trust me, I know what is going to happen here. That Archangel Michael is out there. He's known as the policeman's angel or saint.
Mm-hmm.
We in the Strig area use Michael the Archangel. If you look at the shop Magica that I own on the Pickering Wharf in Salem, you will see a life-size statue of him. It all looks like marble in the front window with the lights on him. Because this is a store dedicated to the Archangel Michael and justice. Now, and there's a young man from BU. There were three people that passed. I don't know his name because they haven't said it yet. But I do pray for all people
that
have been hurt in the wars. I don't care who they are, which side they are.
Right.
The innocent are the ones I feel that on, even on the side of those countries that we are with war, the innocent people that they have to be looked after.
Right.
Yes, it's what you said about Obama's health care. Mama loves Obama.
Yeah, good.
That's where I come from.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. A lot of people think, well, you know, Obama this and Obama that. But really, quite honestly, If you knew what he's trying to do, really, right, and to protect us and protect the patient, those people that have had pre-existing conditions, I'm going to tell you, if this plan wasn't coming forward, they would be up a creek without a paddle because really, the insurance companies are really giving it to people, you know?
That's right. And I can tell you,
because I had to, when I left my last company, and I've been in pharmaceutical for years, but let me tell you, I went to Cobra. My Cobra payments are very, very high, real high, okay? Now, what I consider high, I went to an independent, two of the insurance companies that I thought were good. One of them is the one that I'm still part of with my Cobra to try to get independent insurance, right, to see if they – but you know what? Because I had high blood pressure.
Oh, boy.
Guess what? They said, no, 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 sorry. So this is what I'm saying. For people that have pre-existing conditions in any shape or form, you're in your 30s, 40s, upwards, I'm telling you, really, you can thank Obama for what he's bringing. I mean, really, you can thank him for what he's bringing. And, Lori, I do stand with you on, I do believe strongly, like I said earlier, I believe that there are guardian angels,
mm-hmm.
watchmen,
yes.
archangels walking those streets of Boston. And you know what? The perpetrators of this are not going to get away with it at all. And they will be sought out day in and night until they're brought to justice. And it's that simple.
I wake up in the morning. I light my candles to Archangel Michael. Before I even have a cup of coffee, I take my shower. I come down. The first thing is the Archangel Michael. Every day of my life since I've been a child, my mother has taught me, my grandmother taught her, my both grandmothers, to concentrate on the Archangel Michael. Why? Okay, yes, Jesus is Jesus, and he's wonderful, and he came to give the light. He was another avatar of light. The Archangel Michael is the sword that they speak about to come in the future.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Archangel of all. He is of the seven. He is of the Prince of the Heavenly Host. And the prayer to Michael Archangel, everyone should say every day, O Divine Archangel, you who protect humanity, you who seek out those who seek the ruination of souls, you, the Prince of the Heavenly Host, protect us each and every day in every way, and light our way so that we may do the light of those who are of the light. The gods of the light have many names. Each and every one of us are free to believe as we will. Freedom of will, freedom of provided. That religion does not hurt the young, hurt the old, the animals, or our universe. That is religion. Religion is the love of humanity and all the kingdom of creation. It is not an ismist. The ismist used inquisitions to use the name of God to murder. And my family suffered in that too.
Right, right. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, as you know, both me and Phil are professing, you know, we're professing Christians. Probably not these ones that hold their Bible and beat people over the head or tell them people they're going to hell in a handbasket, because that's no good news for anybody. But, you know, the best witness of light that you can be in this world, I believe, this is my opinion, is keeping your mouth shut. So, in other words, if it's real, people are going to see it.
Absolutely.
And you know what? If it's not real and you're sitting there screaming your head off, people are going to see it too.
That's right.
And so, you know, the best way to be a witness for the light of God, whatever you, however that, you know, you believe or whatever you believe in your path at this point, is to really be that light in a dark world. And this is why I believe that what happened yesterday is so tragic, because what started off as a good day for these people ended up as a tragedy. So light will prevail,
Absolutely. As
it always does, and light will prevail, and all things will be brought to the light. And so that's what we celebrate this very day, knowing that's going to happen. Thank you, Lori, and hang tight with us, because we're going to get to Phil, and then we're gonna come back and do a couple more, and then we're going to get your opinions. Then we're all going to come together, and we're going to talk. And you know what? I think we have some people waiting to say hello to you, too. Okay?
Yes,
okay.
Yes, cool.
So we're going to get Pastor Phil. We're gonna say goodbye to you right now, Lori. Just stay tight here. Don't go anywhere. And then, Pastor Phil, we're going to bring you on and see what you have to say. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hey. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
So, yeah, you on your rant, is it okay if I sub-rant?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so there, with each topic you had, there was something that was an extended thought.
Okay.
With the Boston Marathon, it's, you know, it's obviously a tragic thing. And from this world of which you and I come, this Christian world, there are a lot of people with some very strange doctrines about the activity of God that occurs when these tragedies happen. And so, you know, we've seen it over the years that many times we get a bad name because somebody is saying that this was the justice or the judgment of God upon people. And what is likely to occur over the next few days is our friends from the Westboro Baptist Church, the infamous...
They're not my friends, brother. They're not my friends. Keep them away from me.
But the infamous hates fags people.
God hates everybody, right?
Right, right.
And they're losing, family members, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's already word that they're planning on coming here to the funerals of the people who have died here at the Boston bombings. So that, you know, that just, I want to say it ticks me off, but it saddens me.
Right.
And some friends and I, we want to make a personal response to that, but we don't want it to be a violence for violence kind of response.
Right.
We don't want it to be one that looks as though we're trying to enforce justice upon those who look like they're unjust in the face of this tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But rather, you know, maybe we'll be out there with signs that say, God hugs the broken instead of God hates.
Right.
And there is a bit of, there's something that occurs in our world today when we tell people that God loves you. It's difficult for them to understand that because it seems so ethereal and so distant, and all of a sudden the word love changes from something that has flesh on it to something that's distant, hard to understand, because people can say, I haven't experienced God. But we can experience God oftentimes through the touch and the grace that we show to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a place where God truly does hug us
in
the love of a friend who stands up for us. So, you know, my rant is a peaceful rant, as it were. I want to do something in opposition, but a gentle, gracious opposition and a loving opposition to the voice that says God hates.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I know, you know, I heard Westboro Baptist Church, their spokesperson, the daughter of this pastor, speak, and she was talking to an evangelist, and she was screaming at him. So here's this guy who's like this born-again Christian, and he's trying to basically tell her that what she is promoting is not God, that they're not promoting love, they're not promoting the love of God. And she basically called him a fool. So, you know, he's like, you're calling a man of God a fool? She said, yeah, you're a fool. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is just, I mean, this is so bad. This is beyond, this is beyond. And what I see in them, I do not see love. I do not see grace. I do not see any fruit of goodness. I see hate. I see darkness. That's all I see.
Right.
And that is not what I know as God, and that's not what I know as love. And I will tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. They are losing the people around them.
Oh, right.
The daughters, granddaughters have left, the nieces have left, and they're actually sorrowful for what they have participated in the past. So anyway, thanks. That's a very nice and wise thought. Thank you very much for sharing that. Now, what about the CVS thing? Did you have any thoughts about that?
Okay, now this is a sub-rant as well.
Okay, come on, bring it on.
And I agree with what you had to say. I think it's no smart thing at all that CVS is doing. And I think that there is there are some very wise things in Obama's health care plan. But I have a problem with the drug industry, the legal drug industry that we have in the United States. I've spent some time working in group homes for kids where kids were given drugs for the purpose of behavioral modification.
Correct.
And those words are used in the group home as it is the group home industry, and it's enforced upon the group homes that they have to give these drugs. And the kids are supposed to be able to be free not to take them, but if they don't take them, then it's monitored as being an incident report.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have enough incident reports, you get taken back to the hospital where the drugs are then enforced.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids, for whom the drugs have not been tested, are just guinea pigs to the drug industry. Right now, the prescription drug death overdose rates are so high, it's begun to exceed auto accidents in terms of the number of people who are dying, and it's exceeding heroin and cocaine death overdoses.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a serious problem that we are killing ourselves with something that is supposed to be the remedy for our sicknesses, and I've got a problem with that. That's my rant. We've got
okay.
a wall here in our church that we call the wall of justice that we just
uh-huh.
set up, and
uh-huh.
people in the church are bringing in things that
uh-huh.
are their concerns, and
mm-hmm.
so that was my concern, say,
okay.
let's just recognize that this is going on,
mm-hmm.
let's not kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If our doctors can't be smart enough to cut back on it, let's
mm-hmm.
cut back ourselves and be more careful, along with that,
mm-hmm.
Recognize that this is an industry that is trying to make us dependent on itself.
Hmm. Well, boy, that was a rant, wasn't it? And you know that I've been in pharmaceutical for about 16 years, so thanks so much.
I
understand.
Pharmaceutical industry does great things. My son had a rare kidney disease.
Right.
Nearly died of that, had to have a transplant, and is dependent upon drugs to sustain that kidney in his body.
Right.
You know, so I understand that there is a miracle side to it, but
mm-hmm.
there's a terrible side to it too,
mm-hmm.
that is a very difficult thing. So.
Well, the terrible side too, let me tell you, I've dealt with psych meds, and I've actually been a hospital rep and dealt with a lot of psych institutions and gone. And many times when I was visiting these places, I would actually be escorted in, okay, by cops, because they were afraid that the patients that were there would walk up to people in suits and ties, and sometimes we had to take our ties off and just tug on us, you know.
yes.
Unfortunately, there were some doctors and nurses, et cetera, that were actually murdered by some of the patients.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, I understand what you're saying.
Sure.
I think it's dangerous when you put a child on meds that really don't need to be on medication,
mm-hmm.
because what happens is they become artificially stimulated,
right.
and those receptors in their brain become used to this medication and what it will do for them. Maybe it'll calm them down, et cetera. What happens is when they're taken off of it,
it's a scary thing.
It's a scary thing. So
yes,
anyway,
yes.
I appreciate it, and thank you very much. And I think I'm on to a couple. I'm going to silence you right now because I'm going to be on to a couple
okay.
more rants, and then we'll get your opinions, and then we're going to bring you both back together, okay?
Great.
Yep.
All right, here we go. So, you know, here's one thing that I want to talk about, which I think is wonderful. The Roman Catholic Church has now, as we all know, they've got a new pope, which I think is awesome. I think it's something that's needed to be done for a long time, and he is going to reform this church. He already has. He's refusing to do certain things that the Roman Catholic Church has done for years, which he refused to write in the Popemobile one time. He refused to stay in the Pope's quarters. He rode with the cardinals in their own bus, you know, which I thought was awesome. He decided to pray with a Pope Emeritus together, which I thought was very cool, instead of him taking a special place on the altar for him to pray. So he basically said to the other Pope, the Pope Emeritus, no, I think we're both brothers and we should pray. So he is on his way, and I think I talked to Lori about this too. He is going to revolutionize. He is going to change that church. And guess what? He's already doing that. He already set up a team of cardinals that he wants to look at reforming the Roman Catholic Church. So I think that's awesome. As you know, this is a moot point for me. It's really, I think both of my sides of my family, from my mom's family that hails from Spain, my father's family that hailed from southern Italy, and in fact my grandmother, my father's mother, was actually first cousin to one of the popes. So this is very strong to me. So what I'm going to say to you is this. I think it's high time that there's some change, and I think that a lot of a lot of people are ready for that. So that's one of my other hot topics that I want to go off on. Jamming, I'm hearing some noise in the background. I don't know what it is. It sounds like somebody's on a phone or some music or something like that. So, you know, whatever that is, we need to, it's just really loud. So we need to.
It's my wall clock that does that on the
hour.
Oh,
it's you, Lori. Okay.
It's my wall clock. It's going to go off in a couple of seconds.
Oh, no. What's it going to do?
It times the hour.
Okay.
The hour.
Well, maybe Jammin can mute you for a second while it goes off, and then we're going to bring you back. We're going to bring you back on, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, Jammin. All right.
It's over.
Okay. So I think she's muted. Okay. So so that's my rant on Pope Francis and what he's bringing to the Roman Catholic Church, which I think is awesome. There's a great story here, folks, that Panera Bread is doing a program where, and they're starting in the Midwest, they're doing a thing where you pay what you want to experiment. So basically, in a nutshell, you go in, like into St. Louis area, Panera Bread, and you can order a bowl of turkey chili. And you can either pay $5, $100, a penny, whatever you decide. And you know what? I applaud them, and I say, God bless you for doing that. And I know that Lori and Phil are right there with me because they know what it means to feed people and to reach out to hungry people. And you know what? I think that, you know, I can't even say enough about what Panera, what that meant. When I read that story, it just broke me because I can see how this is just going to really revolutionize a lot of people's lives. So thank you, Panera Bread, for doing that. So, okay, so I'm off those rants, and now we're going to bring Lori back on. Are you there?
I'm here. Yes.
Oh, you never went away.
No. I have a watch, a wall clock that chimes the hours and plays a nice tune. You can't shut it off. It does that.
Well, I didn't hear a chime.
No, it doesn't. It just plays a song.
Oh, it just plays a song.
That's it. Everybody has a group of songs that plays on the hour.
Okay. All right. So now, does it play a different song?
Yeah, it'll play a different song. Most of them are from the Beatles.
which song is that?
This one played Love Me Tender, and it went off.
Wow. One of these days I'll have to sing it and you'll go, oh, my God, that's Elvis. Okay.
That's
Elvis. I'm ready to find out what you think of what I just talked about. I talked about Pope Francis and
yes.
I talked about Panera Bread. So what's your rant?
I think Pope Francis is looking to make a change. He just made Cardinal Sean O'Malley part of that group of cardinals.
Sure. Yep.
And I just wish that they would, I understand, to be kind. That's the biggest part of your religion is kindness. That's the greatest part of wisdom. And to be decent to humanity. Panera Bread is giving people their daily bread.
Mm.
And they're trying to help those people that are hungry.
Hunger
started wars. Hunger started people to hate each other. And it's, you know, it's terrible. When you talked about the Westboro Baptist Church, they're so far away from the center of what humanity is. I don't even discuss it. I look at them. Why should I give them any energy?
Well, that's you know what, that's true. But you know what, from my standpoint and what Phil was saying, you know, for me, I'm just going to tell you where I'm at, Lori, with this. For me, I'm at the same. Okay, here's what I think about street preachers.
I will take a stand against them, and I've done it. And I've been on YouTube when they've come to Salem.
Oh no, I saw you.
Yeah,
I saw you, and I saw that video. But what I'm saying is this, and I think for people that claim to be Christians, okay, these people give us a bad name. Okay.
Yep.
They flat out give us a bad name. So I don't want any part of them. So So don't tell me you're a Christian when you're promoting hate. And it's not just God hates facts. They're against everything.
God hates this, God hates that.
It's like, okay, so when did you become the mouthpiece of God to say what God hates? And I'm going to tell you something else that I believe, okay? This is my personal opinion, okay? I'm not asking any. You don't have to agree with me. Phil doesn't have to agree with me. Nobody has. But what I'm saying is, if I believe what the Bible teaches, the Bible says to be careful what you say is the oracle of the Lord, which is the word of the Lord. So, you know what? If you're going to be the spokesperson for God and tell everybody what God hates, you better make sure you're on the right train.
They certainly are not.
You know? So you know what? What I liked about you, Lori, when I first saw you, I've told you this, so you know I'm not, and I've told Phil this too. You know I'm not blowing any smoke. I just tell, I call a spade, and I, you know.
What
I liked about you was when I saw you do your ritual. Now, I don't practice magic. I don't claim, do I operate in supernatural gifting? Yes. But I'm very sensitive, okay? There was something very different. I knew right away, and I told you this, did I not?
Yes.
That you've had experiences, mm-hmm. and it's very evident when you move forward and you call out, and you're calling out angels to protect your space.
Yep.
And there have been people that have looked at you, they're looking at you like, what is she doing? You know what you're doing.
Of course I do. I'm a magi.
You know what you're doing. And that's another thing people don't understand. You know, Christians will sit there and freak out about the word magic, right? But where do you think magi came from? The wise men. Do you think that they were sitting there twiddling their thumbs? No. No. They were actually magicians. They were actually astrologers.
Yes.
Okay? So these people, people don't quite understand that. They're just kind of like, oh, well, you know, we accept this. So you have to understand the whole thing. But I knew the first time that I saw you and I saw you operate and move, I knew what you were about. I could sense it. I could sense it in my spirit. Okay, enough of my rant about that. Thank you for sharing about that and then about, you know, the Roman Catholic Church and the new Pope. We're going to put you on mute for a second, and then we're going to bring Phil on, see what he has to say, and then we're going to bring you both on.
Phil is here.
Okay, Phil.
Okay, so Pope Francis, I think he's pretty cool. I jokingly told our gang here at church, I like the fact that he took the name Francis, which is totally out of the sequence of names you traditionally expect. And
right.
My comment was, it could only have been better if he chose Bob.
Bob?
Yeah.
Why? Because if you say Bob, front words are backwards, it's still Bob?
No, because it's just like it's a name that you think of as your kind of everyday name. And that's what, you know, he's bringing himself down to earth, and it would have been really cool to have Pope Bob, don't you think?
Pope Bob. Yeah,
so I actually love everything I've seen so far.
Wonderful. So. Okay.
Now the Panera Bread thing,
yeah.
What's really nice about this, it reminds me of some of the things that look like the social justice dynamics of the Old Testament, where the people who had a field were told not to pick from the edges of their field, but to leave it so that the poor could take the gleanings that were there off the edge of the field. And here's this large company making all kinds of money and saying, you know what, we're gonna throw some stores out there, and this is gonna
right.
be like the gleanings. It's a wonderful benefit for the poor it's social justice in its best dynamic of serving and caring for people. So bless them. It's a wonderful thing they're doing. I think it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Okay, so now I'm going to mute you. Thank you very much for your comments. And so we've got quite a few people waiting to talk. So I'm going to take one or two callers here, And so, Jammin, I am going to take the first caller I'm going to take is White Hawk, I believe, from Detroit. You have some comments on Boston. So, White Hawk, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are
Thanks
you today?
Good, good, good. Thanks for calling. And what are your comments?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say hello to Nona Bruno. I am one of her ministers.
Awesome.
And the comment I want to make, mm-hmm. and I know that we have Christians and we have pagans both listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, whatever God you pray to,
yep.
now's the time to do it.
That's right.
These people were innocents.
Yep.
You know, you go out to have a good time, and the next thing you know, it's a month later and you have no limbs.
That's right.
This is not the way that anybody's God that I've ever heard of works.
That's correct.
I was raised Catholic and pagan in the same household, and I believe in a God of love.
Right.
And those angels have got to be walking these streets right now.
They are. They are. They are walking.
And
yeah.
for something you might not have heard, today, Washington, D.C., caught an envelope going to the White House that had tested positive for ricin.
Oh, no, I did not hear that.
It's on CNN,
okay.
their website.
Thank you for
so
sharing that.
You're talking about the series of things that are now starting to occur because we have weakened ourselves in terms of the United States military by being in so many different places.
Yeah.
So if you're going to attack, I guess now would be the time to do that. But if we get together as a community of people who believe, and I'm not saying believe in Catholicism, believe in Baptists, it's not Westboro Church, and, you know, even the pagans, if we get together and do what we do in the same mind, in the same heart, to keep our people happy, safe, and healthy, then we've done something great, and we've done something that I think would be in the eyes of God.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a good. Why do you think? I mean, let me ask you this. Let me ask you, White Hawk. Why do you think it is that there's so much misunderstanding between what is the Christian community and what is the pagan community? Do you think it's a misunderstanding on both sides? Do you think they're both scared of each other? You've been on both ends, so I'm asking you what you think is.
Well, I can tell you, if we look back historically, Christians did not appreciate pagans from back in the time of Solomon. We can go that far back, where we had the Witch of Endora. We've had Suffer Not a Witch to Live.
Mm-hmm.
And most pagans consider themselves witches. And then we look at, as the Catholic Church grew historically,
mm-hmm.
they didn't want people to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed holidays toward pagan days so that way
Correct.
They would bring it all together. So I think the misunderstanding comes from a historical viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
These are churches built by men.
Right.
And no offense to men, but anytime, you know, you can go to a crime scene and each person will have a different view of what they saw.
Right.
And I think it's the same thing with religion and belief.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, like Lori Bruno, I talk to the saints, I talk to the angels.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who, in my opinion, is a witch, who does mm-hmm. not believe that there was a Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who says he's a mythical person, that's a fool.
But see, here's the thing. When you're walking in your path that you have chosen and you understand that,
mm-hmm.
then you're wise. But not everybody wants to walk that way. There are people that choose to freak people out. There are people that choose to say, hey, you know what, I'm a Wiccan or I'm a pagan or whatever, and I'm you know, I'm a Satanist as well. Well, that's not, now listen to me, that is not what pagans are, that is not what Wiccans are, that's a whole different group. So then you have Christians on the other side that freak out and go, oh my God, that's too weird for me, but yet you have a bunch of bozo Christians that are on one end telling people that they're going to hell, okay?
Well, you have bozo pagans too.
Well, of course, but what I what I'm trying to say is it's misunderstanding. It's time we on all ends, whether you're a Christian, a pagan, whether you're a Buddhist, a Jew, whether you're a Muslim, it's time that we just let it go, try to understand each other, try to be kind to one another, and if really what you have is truth and what you believe is truth, it's going to come forth. Period.
Exactly. Well, the interesting thing, you brought up Muslim and you brought up Christian.
Right.
If you read the Quran,
right,
and I mean truly read the Quran,
right,
the first part of the Quran talks about the birth of Jesus, talks about him being the Messiah.
Right. Right.
Okay, and yet, because there's one little sentence in there that he, you know, he was not the Son of God. Because they don't believe that God had a child from his loins, you know, the literal thing. All of a sudden, they're so different from us. And none of these faiths, none of them, are that different.
Right.
We may practice differently, but the belief is still the same.
Right. Right.
You know, call God what you want, but it's still God.
And I you know what? That's absolutely... You know, here's the thing, in the tradition that Phil is part of and that I'm part of, where we come from, there are Christians that believe that we're absolutely from hell. And I'll tell you why. Because we believe in supernatural manifestations of God. There are people that claim that they're Christians that say God does not work that way anymore. So, thus, what you are doing is your magic, or you're doing satanic type of activity. So, believe me, we've been on both ends. You know, we've been part of witch hunts where people have come against what we do, and I know that because if I move out in the supernatural and I'm talking to somebody and I can sense something or feel something or whatever, and I speak it forth, some type of Christian that's not comfortable with that will immediately think that's from the pit of hell, okay?
Well, interesting, the Christians who say that then cannot believe in miracles, can they?
Well, you know what?
A miracle is the manifestation of the power of God.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Can you say that again?
Miracles are the physical manifestation of the power of God.
Amen, sister. That's right. That's what it is. So, you know what? You have been refreshing. I could talk all day with you, but I can't because we have a bunch of people. So I'm thanking you for calling, and I know Lori probably loves the fact that you called in as well. Blessings to you, White Hawk. Thank you for calling. That was just, wow, what an awesome call. Okay, now I'm going to bring Lori. Are you there? Are you there, Lori?
I'm here.
Okay. Do you want to – I want to be respectful of you. We have a lot of people. Now, this is why I'm saying this. Understand, folks, the show tonight was to basically talk about paganism and Christianity, how we're – you know, how we're trying to dialogue together, how Phil does with that, how Lori does with that, how I do with that. I want to make sure that I'm respectful of all people. There are a couple of people on here that would like to ask Lori a question, but it has to do with a reading. Now, I want to, I'm saying this trying to be respectful of Lori and trying to be respectful of you as well, who is calling. So I'm going to ask Lori. Lori, do you feel led to take a call?
Right now, there's so much conversation going on that I think the views of everybody should be met here.
Okay.
And that if, you know, it's nice to do a reading now, but I think what we have here are very serious questions that have to be addressed.
Okay.
And I would like to do that. If people out there don't mind, Number one, the Magi came from a place called Babylonia, or what is Mesopotamia,
mm-hmm.
which is now Iraq. Which
right,
is
and now that. And
Can I please finish?
Oh, sure, yeah, sure.
I hope you don't mind, but
No, go ahead.
I have been very mindful of everybody and their views. The Magi were people that believed in the universal love of mankind and the universe. They wore a symbol called an equilateral cross, which now incorporates in the church I have brought forward. The church is this. She talks about being a minister. Yes, we are not a minister in a church building. I did not build this church to be a building. I built the church to be as it was from generation to generation, where humanity is in service to humanity. Not rhetoric, not showing this, showing that. It is not words. It is by your deed of kindness to humanity. This is what it is. And each one of the people that comes to me, I want to be a minister in the church. I said, what have you done for others today? And if I hear the word, then you are not a minister to humanity. When you get the out and you start to do something, that is a minister. Yes, you can join and be part of this church. I do not take money from my ministers. I support myself, as all ministers should do. Do not expect to be supported by others and live in a grandiose time. All right? I believe that the Vatican is a wonderful place. However, if you worry about the poor, there are many things there, Pope Francis, that you could sell and help the poor, as Jesus Christ did for many. He put his bread on the water and let it feed the many. This is your Christianity, what it is supposed to be, not living in a pomp and circumstance world. I've heard a lot about people and their magic. The Magi is this. This is why the shop I made is called Magica. M-A-G-I is the magic. The word ka in Egyptian means soul. The shop is the soul of the Magi. I will give and I will take care of people, but I have to see a person wanting to help themselves too. It has to be a balance of everything. What I feel now is that the world does need the balance. It is thrown out of balance. The balance has to be brought back. The caring. Yes, we have to be a caring nation. You find a poem that I wrote, In the Name of God. It's on my website. Read it. You'll know where my heart is. I appreciate all that you are trying to do here with this show, but the show has to be the heart of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
This is a show. This is not other things that people want to do. Okay, the Panera, the CVS, these are things that little by little Panera is saying, yes, the gleaning of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. This mm-hmm. is what has to be. Yes, I'm listening to everyone here because I'm a good listener.
Yeah.
But I'm also a person that can speak. Yes, the angels are walking the streets right now of Salem and walking the streets of Boston and walking the streets all over. Beware of it and be aware. Those who have murdered and caused mayhem, the angels are watching you. They're watching you very carefully. I'm sorry if I ranted a little bit.
No. And you know what? I didn't mean to interrupt you. What I wanted to say was for those people, and thank you, Lori, for talking, because I knew it was important. I sensed it, that it was important that I ask you what you sense, okay? So, again, the show had an outline.
If someone wishes to ask me something, go right ahead. I feel if I can help one or two people, fine. Yes, it's not just about the money. I read for free, too.
Right. But, Lori, I want to also let people know, if they want to contact you for that, if they want to go down and visit your store, Magica, in Salem. Can
it's
you
our
please?
Store. It's everyone's show.
Okay. Can you please give them a way to reach you?
You can call me at my home for an appointment too. 978-741-9297 or the shop, 978-740-9297. Why the 9297? September 29th. Is known as the Feast of the Angels. It was the Feast of Michael, and now it has encompassed all the angels. The number 7 is the 7 heavens. That's why 9297 is the 4-digit number at the end of both of those numbers to reach me.
Perfect.
I live the life, Mama. I live the life.
Right.
I will never change. And I was chided by many people in the past. Oh, you know, you're giving all your tip money away. Yes, I did. For people to be fed, I will give. I will never stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? To live is to give, and to give is to live.
Right.
Both.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah, that's what it's about, right?
As I said, no minister pays my way. I want everyone who has become a minister in this church has got to help humanity. I ask them, what have you done today? The minute they start saying the thing that they've done nothing, And Anita Marie Laveau, who was a voodoo queen down in New Orleans, that was her little question. What have you done for others today? And to do it for the least, you have done it for the most.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Well, so then you're comfortable taking somebody that wants to talk to you real quick here?
Yes,
okay.
I do that.
Okay. So we've got Louise. Louise is from Kansas. And Louise, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for waiting, Louise.
How are you today, Louise?
Hi, Lori. I just want to honor everything you've just said. That is just, you know, you are an amazing woman, and I really enjoyed this show. Joey, I really can agree with so much of your viewpoints, and I want to thank you for having this show.
Oh, thank you.
Louise, you've been taking care of other people all the time now?
Yes.
Someone old who you've taken care of?
Well, my husband, recently, yes, the doctors told him he had 3 to 6 weeks to have a heart attack and didn't expect him to get through it, and I refused to believe that. I made some changes, and he's doing extremely well.
Yep, and he's going to continue to do well. Just keep him away from anything that has any gases in it, like the, what do you call it, sodas? Keep him away from soda. Diet sodas, and anything that has aspartame in it, that's the artificial sugars.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. If you read about them, there's something
horrible.
There. Just don't let him have anything with artificial sugar in it.
Well, he's doing vegetables and herbs and juicing and really getting back to
perfect.
Nature kind of diet.
The juicing is wonderful. That will help his body maintain itself and go forward. You've taken good care of him. I see that. And you will reap the harvest there. And you're not to worry, Louise. You're not to worry. What do you
Thank
want to
you.
Do? What do you want to do with the house? It seems to be getting brighter.
Oh, well, I'm in need of employment, and I recently sent in a resume to a company that I would really like to work for, and I wanted to find out what you could thought about that.
I feel you did good. I feel something there good. The next
Great.
3 weeks, 3 month cycle, you will be in a very good place with work. Very good.
Great.
You're not to worry, Louise. Just keep your faith. Every day, say, my cup is half full, not half empty. Every
Absolutely.
Day, envision the cup filling up. Your mind and your spirit and your very being can cause things to happen for the good.
Do
not think negative. Like, you have to be, oh, gee, nothing good ever happens to me. Well, guess what? Nothing good will happen to you. So what you keep there is that positive say, it is going to happen.
Absolutely.
It will. You say, thy will, all right, to God, thy will and my will be done. Because the will is one. I have created from you, creator, creatrix. So therefore, your will is my will. And from putting your will with mine, I get stronger.
Okay? Absolutely. Thank
tap
you.
Into that universal positivity, and you will make things happen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I say a blessing for you, too, Louise. And give
thank
me a call.
You.
Let me know how you are. Okay?
I will. Thank you.
I'm not
you
a stranger.
So,
I might be strange, but I'm not a stranger.
You're not strange. Thank you.
Ayan, thank you for calling. We appreciate, you know, we do appreciate you. We appreciate you waiting for a long time, and
I'm
you were waiting, and you called all the way from. Tell me again where you called from. Kansas.
Kansas.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for your positive words to us this evening. Okay.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Okay.
And your husband.
Thank you.
Phil, are you still there with us?
I am here.
You know,
how
I had
you,
a
question. Phil. My friend.
Indeed.
Phil is a great, Phil is
when
a great
I first
guy.
Met Phil, I first met Phil in Salem. I said, this is a man of light. There was all light around Phil when I met him.
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy. I'm interested in knowing, Phil, I want to know how you've interacted with the pagan community, and you've attended some of their gatherings as well. Am I correct?
Right, right. Sometimes because I decided, well, I think I'll go there, and sometimes because I was invited. I enjoy going places where I'm not anticipated to be. Arriving in surprising places. I love being in places that Christians are not expected. And one of those places tends to be pagan festivals. But of course, that just goes hand in hand with Salem. When I told people I was going to plant a church in Salem, there were a number of surprised people. Oh, no. You're going to the very gates of hell itself. But the gates of hell sometimes are, you know, at the front door of the church because people have been hurt by church. Mm-hmm. So to me, one place is not significantly different from another in respect to how God wants to show himself. So Paul could make a statement. I think this is the dramatic and beautiful thing about the Apostle Paul, who walks as an apostle in the Roman pagan world and can say things unlike much of the church today, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound.
Mm.
When he was in the most difficult places, he didn't see the grace of God as being restricted or dropped back, but he rather saw it. And of course, pagan Rome proved itself later to be very, very difficult for Christianity, with Christians being thrown to the lions and all of the things that were to occur down through the process of history. And that's a paganism very unlike today's paganism, which I don't think. People particularly understand. But Paul at least gives a view of how we ought to be, that when we are the most scared or feel like it's a world very different from our own, that's actually
right.
The place where God wants to show up the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably where he already is more than we understand.
Sure.
God's love is equal for everybody.
Right.
Witch or Christian.
Right.
And the capacity for somebody to bump into him along the path of life is equal, pagan or Christian. And sometimes the capacity to hear God is just as open. Pagan or Christian, and the reason I can say something like that is, and hearing God is not necessarily, when I say that, hearing God is not necessarily the same as obeying God.
Mm-hmm.
And we have stories from scriptures that are like that, where prophets have been disobedient.
Right.
So the prophet Balaam, he says exactly what God says, but he disobeys God.
Mm-hmm.
And so my hearing of God doesn't necessitate that I'm necessarily all that great of a person. You know, and when I say that for myself. I don't say it for somebody else.
Right.
My sense that I have truth or that I walk in some kind of experience of the miraculous isn't any evidence that I'm being all that good.
Absolutely.
I have to be good for the sake of goodness itself. That's the important thing in life. And that's really the power that we hold in transforming this world far greater. Even though I believe that in miracles, and I think that Jesus walking around healing the sick was probably the greatest social justice experience in human history. that was just an that's amazing stuff, and I think that can happen. I believe that can happen today, and we've seen instances of it happen here at the gathering, just very
right.
recently, with people being healed. But I'm sorry, I really went abreast of your question. But interacting with the witches here in Salem, it was initially somewhat of a difficult thing because I walked into town and people were very afraid.
Sure.
Of evangelical/Pentecostal Christians, of which that would have been a descriptor for me when we came to plant the church. And I went around to every witchcraft shop and I introduced myself. Hi, I'm Phil and I'm a new pastor in town. And then there would be kind of this cold distance. Uh-oh, it's another one of those. What's he going to do now? Are they going to turn
right.
demons out of us? And I just openly said, I know that there's been a lot of problems between
mm-hmm.
Christians
mm-hmm.
and witches
mm-hmm.
here in the town. And
mm-hmm.
I don't want it to be that way. I would like to open up a dialogue. Some people believe that, and we made friends fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Other people still don't particularly believe that to this day. That they're anticipating for me to drop the boom and, you know, pull out the fire and brimstone and the heavy conversion tactics. I believe that Jesus is the way. You know, I am a Christian pastor. That's what I am. And that he's the way, the truth, and the life. I believe in a place called hell and that kind of judgment, what that exactly looks like, I'm not going to try and define, and I'm not going to say it's, you know, your typical kind of street evangelist. It's 4,000 degrees and everybody's going there, you know. I don't want to put those kind of descriptors on it. In fact, if I'm going to put a descriptor on it, I will be a judge of my own world before I'll be a judge of somebody else's world, like Jesus to the Pharisees. But when the world of the witches here in Salem began to open up, it was just through making friends, hanging out with them,
mm-hmm.
spending time talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few instances that were rather dramatic where we kind of proved ourselves as caring about them.
Mm-hmm.
When street preachers were harassing them and somebody would call and say, "Help, Pastor Phil, there's these wild street preachers out here and they're attacking our psychic fair." And we'd send, this would be in October, and
mm-hmm.
we'd send people dressed up as monks
mm-hmm.
to stand in between the situation and bring
mm-hmm.
peace. That was a moment that was really dramatic. When we had a confessional booth and 35 to 40 witches, psychic readers, neo-pagans of various kinds came through the confession booth, and we didn't have them confess to us, but rather we confessed the sins of the church to them and asked and apologized for hideous things that had happened not only down through history, but even in recent times.
Wow.
That was evidence that we cared.
Wow.
And at some point that led to me being invited to some of the pagan and festivals to
mm-hmm.
teach and to lecture. And in some ways, what I say there isn't particularly different than I would say on a Sunday morning, except that it's in the light of I've done a lot of dialogue about how do witches put up with their Christian relatives and friends? how do you handle that? And the way I deal with that is to point out that there are certain doctrines of the church that Christians themselves don't understand. And one of the big, just as an example of one of many, one of the big ones is the idea of conversion. Many people feel like they're being forced into conversion. And many Christians feel as though it's their job to sell Jesus.
Right.
And everybody feels that pressure. Well, the real doctrine of scriptures is that conversion does occur, but it occurs with every person who gives themselves to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an interaction that occurs because somebody sells something to you. It's because you meet God.
Right.
And God says hi, and you say hi, and you go, oh my gosh, you're God? and then something changes within you. It's
mm-hmm.
this personal interaction, that not something that I can mediate.
Right.
And if I really believe that, then I would behave that way, and my dialogue wouldn't sound like a sales pitch. And I like to let pagans, neo-pagans, in on the secret that that's what Christians really believe. They just don't know that that's what they believe.
Right, right. Well, that's
and
awesome.
It takes some of the pressure off the sense that
mm-hmm.
we have to be at odds with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Makes sense. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome, you know. And I believe that you're doing a great work, so. Anyway, I am going to put you on hold for a second here, and this is what I feel led to do. There is somebody here by the name of Javier, and I like the name Javier because I speak Spanish, right, so obviously. So, Javier, mi amigo, are you there from Kansas?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So, I think you have a question for Lori, is that right?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a question for Lori, or who's your question for?
Yes, for Lori.
Okay. So I think we're going to bring Lori on, and we're going to take this call. Okay, Javier, go ahead.
Hello, Javier.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, darling. How are you?
I'm okay. I want to ask you, what do you see on for my career?
Which career are you talking about, Javier?
I'm finishing school and for construction.
Okay, and like construction engineer.
It's like construction science.
Okay, but it's like engineering too. You're saying science, but I'm picking up engineering too. It's not just the construction science. It's other things that you're going to go and do. And you're going to do very well.
Okay.
And what is this with the architectural stuff? What do you want to do with that?
Architect? Well, I like building houses.
Yes, and you're going to be working with architectures. And you're also going to go ahead and have your own business.
That would be ideally, but that's more in the future.
Well, I'm telling you about your future, Javier. Your future is very good. You've worked very hard to get where you are.
Okay.
You've been working very hard to get through school, and that's what I see. But you're also going to be doing very, very, very well. When you build your homes, they're going to be very well constructed.
Okay.
Very well.
Thank you.
I think so.
Mm.
And I feel that about you. You'll see in this next 6 years where you will be. And maybe, Mr. God's let me be still here, you'll call again and say, I succeeded.
Mm.
Because
you'll still be here. Don't worry.
You never know. I might take a little trip and come back again. Javier, I see you working very hard.
Okay.
For what you've done. Nothing is going to stop you. Javier, this is a little secret. Believe it, will it, see it, live it, create it, and achieve it now. And that's what you've done. You have built your foundation, Javier. Because in believing you can do it, you are going to do it. 6 years, you will look back and say, this lady was right. That's what I said. What job, Javier? It seems like you have worked twice to get where you are. Am I correct?
Yes.
I saw you work very hard. And you will achieve it, too. More than you know.
Wow. That's nice, huh? Javier, are you still there?
Yeah. Yes,
I have
here,
a question for you. I have a question for you, Javier.
Yes.
Where's your family?
Okay, I'm actually from Argentina. Part of my family living back in Argentina, my dad and my brother. In architecture, to be an architect. Rich Nassau, Steve Mendat.
And, the architect, Javier. Architectural drawings, everything around you I was picking up. Also, who's the one that likes the history, Javier? Who loves history?
History. My friend Steve.
He's a helper to you. He's always going to be your friend.
Good.
He will always be your friend. You have such a good thing. You see, I had an aunt, a great aunt, that lived in Argentina. She was married to an engineer.
Oh, my goodness.
And she came from Sicily to Argentina.
Okay.
Do well, Javier, because you are going to do well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Javier.
Mm-hmm.
Muchas gracias, eh?
Muchas gracias, Javier.
See, Lori speaks Spanish.
Buenas noches.
Yeah.
It's not buenas noches for you yet, Lori Bruno.
No, it's not. I got many hours to go yet. I'm up
okay.
late into the morning,
I know,
my dear.
I know. Thank you, Javier.
Bless you, Javier.
You know, I'm thinking, and we can bring Phil on too, but I just want
to
say,
Pastor Phil.
I know.
He's done so much for the people in Salem to come to understanding and love each other.
He is
such a good man.
Yeah, he is. So,
you are too, Joey.
This is what I was going to say to you. You know, so I always felt kinship with you, you know, even though we're not related by blood. I adopted you, and I told Phil that. And you know, my dad was from Brooklyn, New York. And
yep.
Phil, are you listening to this?
Am I here?
Yeah.
Here. Okay.
I hope you're there.
Okay.
So listen to this. My dad's family was from Southern Italy, you know, and so my dad was from Brooklyn, and my grandmother from Spain was she was a very strong Christian woman, but she was very much a seer, so that's kind of like passed down. And then Lori understood this. So there's kind of some stuff that we're kind of like hand in hand. Lori worked for NASA. My father, mm-hmm. after he retired from the California State Highway Patrol, went to work for NASA in Sunnyvale, California. And then, get this, Phil. I just found this out yesterday. So my father, before he married my mom, had a little Pomeranian dog, okay?
Mm-hmm.
His name was Caesar. And then when my parents got married, my dad came to live with my mom and her mother and stuff like that. And my grandmother didn't want the dog there for whatever reason. So she was kind of scared of dogs because she got bit by one. But anyway, and he was a small little dog. So he gave Caesar to my Aunt Lee. So when I was a little kid in the 60s, I remember Caesar. So Lori was telling me yesterday, I did not know this. She said, I have two Pomeranians, Joey.
No, four.
Oh, four. But she said, I'm going to tell you about two of them. She says, I have one that's named Toto right here. And she said, and then when I told her the name of my dad's old, you know, his dog that he gave over to my Aunt Lee, she said, okay, are you ready for this? And you tell them what you said.
I said, I call my dog Coda Bear Caesar, I call him.
Isn't that funny?
He sits there like the most stately gentleman. He's all
right.
black and he has a white shirt. And he sits there like the most stately king. And we have another white Pomeranian, and we have another red-headed one, and we have Toto. The other ones are two. We have two redheads, one white. And one with the black, that's Codiberius Caesar. And then we have a Sapsali, Sapsalli.
What's that?
Okay, Sapsaree. They're known in Korea as the demon hunter dog. I didn't even know what it was until my friend Karen called me. And she says, I have two dogs here, a mother and a son. Would you like them? So that's a story in itself.
So it's a Korean dog?
It's a Korean dog. It's known as a Sapsali, S-A-P-S-A-L-L-I, or Sap, S-A-P-S-A-R-E-E. They're the demon hunter dog, exorcist dog of Korea. There's the movie, The Never Ending Story.
Mm-hmm.
The dog that was called Valcor is what the Sapsali is, the flying dragon dog. Flying lion dragon dog. That's what they call.
Is it a big dog?
Yes, she's big. She's big. She's built like a lion, and she is such a protector. She also snores. That's probably in the background. You heard these little snores going on. Mm-hmm. She's at my feet right now. I do the reading, and I'm talking to you on the phone. Now she stopped, but we had six of them, and I saved all their lives.
Wow. Now let me ask you: are they similar? Do you know what an Akita dog is?
No, they're not. Look at them. Look online when you get a chance. They have a squared face that looks like dragon. Like, what do you call again? Like the hairs on the side of their face look like a dragon.
Wow.
Such a wonderful, kind dog. I saved her. She had, by the time she was 5 years old, she had 24 puppies. She was in a puppy mill. And
wow.
We saved her and her son. Yep.
Wow.
Inhumanity to the creatures of the earth.
What's the doggie's name?
Her name is, now the strangest thing, I kept calling her Mummy, M-O-M-I. My friend got her papers from this woman, and her name was Omi, which in Korean means mother.
Wow.
I named her Mummy when I seen her, because she had 24 babies she had in her short life. She's a wonderful dog. She's gained about 20 pounds. She's in good health, and she's a protector of this family.
Wow. That's awesome.
And the Pomeranians think she's their mother.
Wow. And she's a Korean dog.
Korean dog, yes.
Do you think maybe she'll help us with our relations with Korea?
Oh,
I'm
well,
just
can
kidding.
I tell you something?
Yeah.
The man in Korea is a megalomaniac. A megalomaniac. He wants to make people think he's the king.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where he's making a wrong turn. Every generation we get a cuckoo. That's a cuckoo.
That's a cuckoo.
He doesn't understand that. Look, let's face it. Economically, China will go against him because China has a lot with America.
Mm-hmm.
And he's rocking a very bad boat.
Mm-hmm.
And if he sets us off a missile, his next-door neighbor might send a missile to him. All right, I'm serious. This is where he's treading on dangerous place. He doesn't understand that the Chinese have a lot of economics with America. And why would they cut their nose to spite their face?
Mm-hmm.
Not a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got people watching him very close to his shores.
Mm-hmm.
He's a foolish man. Why don't you make peace? What are you getting out of wars? Number
exactly.
One, wars come, wars go. And then each of the enemy is their friend again. And it's so silly. It's a waste of life and time. And it goes beyond me, my thinking. My thinking is this. Sit around the table, break bread, find out your differences, and let it be done. Do not war with each other. Learn to sit down in peace. Make war no more. It does nothing.
Okay.
There's no such thing as a holy war, except it puts holes in people's bodies.
Okay. Now, that being said, I'm going to ask you, that's a good, this is good for my segue here. So here's my question to both of you. So you know what the difference, both of you know what the difference is between what, say, Christianity and paganism is. Let me ask you this. I want you to think. What do you think we have in common? Whoever wants to go first, go.
Is it okay if I jump in here, Laurie?
Go right ahead,
okay.
Absolutely. Buddy.
Yeah, these are the kind of things of which I spend quite a bit of time, not just about the discussion between Christianity and paganism, but Christianity and much of many of the other thoughts that are out there in society, many of the other ways of belief. In the times in which we live, finding the things that are of similarity is the trend that we have in the circles of liberal, moderate to liberal Christianity, and in most of our society. And so those things in some ways are quite easy for us to find. The passion for experiencing the unseen realm.
Okay.
The belief in the miraculous and
okay.
and a connection to it, which isn't something that it sometimes is not found between Christian and Christian.
Right.
Right. There are disagreements on the experience of the supernatural. But
absolutely.
For myself, at least, my variety of Christianity has that similar connection to paganism in this touch of the unseen.
Right.
There's also, in the better part of Christianity, there is this deep sense of mystery.
Right.
And that is found in paganism sometimes more so than in my own tribe of, you know, the evangelical Pentecostal circles, because we try and have an answer for everything. And
mm-hmm.
And sometimes there should not be an answer for everything, but mystery ought to lie out there just beyond our reach, where we're always grasping for it.
Right.
And there's something about always reaching and never quite fully attaining that
mm-hmm.
drives us to be passionate about going after spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And for many people, that sense of mystery and that sense of something out there that I don't quite know, but I know that I experience it, something that paganism calls to their hearts. And oftentimes we as Christians have lost that sense of mystery. So those are certainly just a few things. But there's also, I believe, very much a sense of community.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Lori made the comment earlier that, you know, just like we have, and I forget the word that was being used at the time, but just like we have got weird Christians, there's weird pagans. Every group has its weirdos. I tend to think of myself as just being one of the weirdos, but there's good weirdos and bad weirdos, and you know, and every group, every religious group has their weirdos, has their troublemakers. But I do find that within paganism, there is a sense of community. Some years ago, I was at a conference. I was asked to be there because there was a lot of discussion about new religious movements and Christianity's interaction with them. And I sat in a room full of theologians, and some of these were, world-renowned theologians. And we were talking. I kind of became the center of discussion because I was the pastor from Salem, Massachusetts, and everybody thought that was kind of a wonderful and weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
So a Lutheran pastor stood up, and he gave an example of the tension that's going on in our society and why some people are not drawn to church. And so he held out his right hand and he said, would I rather go to a Lutheran church service? And then he held out his left hand on his other side and he looked at it and he said, or a pagan gathering. And then he looked back to his right side. A Lutheran church service? He looks back to his left side. Or a pagan gathering. And each time he did this, when he looked to his right and he said Lutheran church service, he kind of got more stoic. And as he looked to his left side and he looked at his head, he said, or a pagan gathering, he got more excited. Now, the whole room laughed because we understood the tension of how boring church can be and how sometimes we don't even feel that sense of community. But there's this acceptance and this excitement that can happen in these festival settings. That people are running to. We all left, and we didn't know that we had an answer to this dilemma. But there was something that was tapped into in those festival settings that is the heart of what we would have anticipated if we went out into the desert and we found Jesus, and he was breaking bread and fish and passing it around. We were sitting around listening to him talk. that would have been a wild and wonderful event with the kind of deep magic surging through it. So there are these wonderful similarities that sometimes are not a similarity to what goes on in Christianity right now, but it's a similarity to what Christianity ought to be.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you. Now, what, Lori? Are you there?
Hello.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you the same thing.
Okay.
Oh, there's your clock again.
It loves you tonight.
I know. It loves
the hour.
I shut it down, and it started again. But it'll go off in a couple of seconds. Now,
that's
the similarities
all right.
of Christianity and paganism.
Yes.
Well said. Pastor Phil, it is the belief in the miraculous within that we can tap from the miraculous without and bring it in and cause it to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we are. But that is like with the prayers, giving the prayers that our belief can make it happen, that we are one with God and God, that we are one. We walk in that light.
Mm-hmm.
And if we walk in the light, it is something that we can brighten humanity with. This is how we have to do. Keep that smile on your face. No man, I don't mean the idiot look in the face. I don't mean that. I mean to let people know that there's love in your heart. Bring it to them. You know, when you see the picture of Jesus with his hand to his heart, and you see that heart filled with fire, that tells you it is within you to get all this out. It is the heart of all things. Magic is in the heart. And if you haven't got the heart, you can't do magic.
Okay? You know, you said something, Lori, earlier that grabbed me. Okay? You ready?
Yes.
So you said, and I think Phil probably picked up on this too, but it was very strong to me. And you said the following. When basically you're walking in the will of God, you're walking in, that's your will. When you're walking in the will of God, then you're walking. So, you know, what you said there was so intense, and I understood it. But see, a lot of people,
thy
you know,
will and my will be done as we walk and we are one.
Right. So when you're walking in
basic,
that. Yeah.
Yes, thy will and my will be done.
Right.
Because we walk as one.
Right.
God and Goddess, God, whatever you want to call it. That creator, that creatrix,
right.
That is what is within. Now, I'm going to say something to you about, you know, they talk about Jesus being married. Well, back in the ancient times, I do believe Jesus married. I do believe that Miriam of Migdal, better known as Mary Magdalene, was his wife. Some may disagree with me, that's their belief. But here we go. And I'm going to give you a little, for instance, in the ancient Hebrew. Here we are at the marriage feast at Cana. That's C-A-N-A. Mary, or Miriam, his mother, is there with him as a guest. She says to her son, Yeshua, we have no more wine at this wedding. Key. At a wedding, it was always the job of the bridegroom to get the wine. Miriam, his mother, said to Jesus, who was, or Yeshua, there is no wine. Yet he was a wedding guest. It wouldn't be up to the guest at the wedding to get the wine. It was up to the bridegroom. You follow what I'm saying to you? I may be very strange, but I do believe that was his marriage to Miriam of Migdal. No, she wasn't a whore. She definitely wasn't. That's Leo the 13th, who said something like this, that she was a fallen woman. She was known as a beloved disciple. Yes. She was the one that he appeared to when he came from the dead, when she went to anoint his body. Do you understand? There's something there that has been covered for thousands of years. Yes, I do believe there are people that are descended from that couple. That walked the earth, that wished to bring light to this world. A hopeless place? No, it is not a hopeless place. Each one of you are imbued with the hope of knowing that you can create this heaven on earth. Each and every one of you are sons and daughters of the Creator Creatrix. Each and every one of you have that power within to make a little. If you have done it for people that are the least, you have done it for the greatest. This is the similarity of the true paganism and the Christianity, to help your brothers and sisters, to help the kingdom of all creation, to make it as one as rising moon and setting sun, to make people come to love each other. That's what it is. Love is your greatest magic. It is your greatest light, to love all. And that's what many of the avatars, Jesus always spoke of love. He never spoke of hate. Judge not, lest ye be judged, he said. In
right.
my Father's house are many mansions. And he did not say there were split levels and condos. There were many ways to the one. Many ways. And in each and every one of you, create that force. Yes, there are many similarities, but the greatest similarity to all is love. That is the greatest. When you hear a crafter say, hate for this one and hate for that one, they're not of the old ways. They're the ismists that want to destroy all. When you see a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim saying hatred, they are not true to the faith. My son-in-law is Muslim. He is black. And he is most bright. My daughter just had a baby girl at the age of 46.
Right.
2 years ago, they blessed her with this. She has a son and daughter, 33 and 31. You look back and you say, what a blessing this is for this girl. Yes, Aliyah is her name, my granddaughter, and it does mean in Hebrew and in the Muslim faith of blessing. It means a blessing, and she is a blessing. And she's going to be, I hope, by all the gods of light, a bright mark in this world. And I have a feeling she and other the babies that are born now, we have to guide them. As far as Pastor Phil said about the drugs earlier, they're not drugs to help. They're shut-up drugs. You understand, Pastor Phil, what you said about the drug industry? To go ahead and give the drugs is to have the child shut up so they don't hear what's going on. I don't believe in shut-up drugs. Unless they are absolutely necessary, find out what troubles the child. Help them. Yep, there is a kickback in the drug industry, isn't there, Pastor Phil?
Indeed.
Yes.
Wow, so both of you spoke about, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think that there's some things that are very similar in how we believe. Especially Pastor Phil, amongst even the charismatic Pentecostal type of movement, there's some similarities.
Right.
Even sometimes in the way we pray. Now, that being said, I'm just talking about, let's say, for instance, we get together and we pray in a circle, right?
Right.
A lot of times we'll pray in a circle and we will pray for protection around us. And you know, I'm gonna ask. You know, time is slipping. Man, I just cannot believe
it went too fast.
It went too fast. I mean, it's gonna be going on 2 hours pretty soon, folks. But you know what? There was a reason for us to get together. There was a reason in the realms for us to get together. There were people that were supposed to hear this tonight, and that's why we came together. That's why it all came together. That's why the whole thing just worked as it worked. And interesting, you know, like I said, when I first saw Lori move and talking about angels, I tell you, I'm going to share, and I want you guys to share about it too. We're probably going to have to do another show at some point. This is just amazing. But I want to tell you something. There was a point in my time, and I'm going to ask you guys about this, two incidences here, okay? There was a point in my life, and as you know, I worked for World Vision. Well, I was a singer, and I traveled singing and then talking about World Vision, how, you know, they feed hungry children, and
yeah.
You know all about that. There was a point in my life that I walked away from that, and I didn't do it, and for about 2 years. So when I did come back, I was asked to sing at a gathering. This gathering was made up of young people, college-age people. There was about 200 or 300 of them. So I went to sing, and a friend of mine that I worked with attended this quite conservative church. They were not charismatic. They were not Pentecostal. They were very just conservative, but they were young people, and they invited me to sing. So I did. So I went to sing, and I want to tell you what happened. Most of the people were in their 20s that were there, okay? I walked up to the platform to sing, and after I was done singing, I remember saying to myself, God, I hope I did what you wanted me to do. And that's it. I let it go, okay? Now, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys with me? Okay.
Yep.
So what ended up happening was after the service, these people were coming around, a lot of younger people, you know, that they appreciated the song, they appreciated this and blah, blah, blah. And this man started to approach me. He had white hair, and he had these very piercing blue eyes, okay? And he went to outstretch his hand saying, Joey, I appreciated your music and what you did. When I went to shake his hand, there was an electrical current that went through me. And I looked at him, and I said, you're not from here, are you? And he laughed, and he said, no, I'm not from here. And I said, well, where are you from? And he looked at me, he said, I'm from far away. And I said, oh. And I said, okay. And he said, I'm from the line of the tribe of Judah. Well, that was enough to freak me out, you know. At that point, I thought, is that a new kind of church or something? I mean, I didn't know what to say. I was so freaked out about it. And he said, I just want to let you know, thank you so much. And I'm like, okay. So I'm getting all my stuff together to boogie. And he's walking, and he turns around, and he looked at me, and he said, oh, Joey, by the way, you did do the right thing. And he was gone. Second time, I was traveling somewhere. I needed to get home by a certain time. I was at the airport. They said, basically, sorry, Charlie, there's no way you can get home. There's 30 people waiting on this list for standby. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need to get, you know, and I'm thinking to myself. So I said, okay, just put my name down. And I was last on there. And they said, but if something comes up, we'll let you know. So I was waiting there. Probably about 10 or 15 minutes later, I heard my name being called. And I walked up, and the lady said, I just want to let you know that this gentleman said, he walked up and he said to give his seat to you, and he pointed to you. And when I told him that there were other people waiting, he said, no, I want that gentleman here to have my seat. And she went to point to him, and he wasn't there. Okay. I want to ask you guys, just out of curiosity, what are your thoughts about what that was that occurred? And two things, and I know we're running short on time. I just wanted to know your opinions. And if you have, we have about 13 minutes. Boy, I can't believe it. 13 minutes left here. But I just want to know what you guys.
Sometimes we have spirits that follow us when we've come to do the right thing on the right path. Understand me, Joe? Where
mm-hmm.
you are, you have done the right path. And this being will always be there when you need them. They come.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it happen to me similar mm-hmm. times. One day we'll discuss this when we meet, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And they are there. They come to watch mm-hmm. over us and open the door.
Mm-hmm. They're like watchmen? They're like angels?
They're like watchmen, I would call them. Guardian angels.
Yep.
People who are there, beings that are of the light, that in our darkest hour, they come forward because you've done the right thing. Okay?
Okay. Okay. And Pastor Phil?
I have a rather simple view of this unseen realm that we, as it were, now try to navigate as
right.
people.
Right.
And I have a simple view because it is unseen, and I know the capacity for me to either misunderstand it or, and here's where something I think is very important for everybody to understand. Just like we know that there are people who are liars, flesh and blood people that we walk with every day, and they lie to us, they deceive us, sometimes they betray us.
Right.
We can't
anticipate
anything different from the unseen realm. There's going to be liars and deceivers and stuff like that. But there are moments like these where you have instances in scriptures of an angel appearing and helping. To me, it just, these sound like those kind of instances. I have a moment or two in my own life in which I have instances very similar to that where I go, wow, that was crazy. That was an insane moment. And I still chalk it up in a very simple way. I don't put too many descriptors on it. I just go, thank you, God. That was great. That was really awesome.
And
I realize that the God of the universe with whom I do my, and this is one of the unique things, I think, for one of the unique differences sometimes with the differences between neo-paganism and Christianity is that we do have a very strong emphasis of, as it were, going straight to the top and not dealing with the intermediary. The one mediary we have is the one who's at the top already anyway, the Son of God, Jesus, who's, you know, God in flesh. And so for me, that is my interaction. But I know that he sends others.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As servants to his people who are serving him.
Yes.
You know, so we have this statement out of the book of Hebrews that tells us that the angels, these ministers, these flames of fire are ministers to them who are heirs of salvation. And so there's this very strange dynamic going on that far more powerful beings than myself are being sent as servants to you and I, to each of us as by God himself, because of the unique stance that humanity holds with this thing we call Imago Dei, the image of God that's been
placed
in us so dynamically and so uniquely. And then we got this terrible upside-down kind of thing where we can't act like we're God. We have to do the opposite and act like servants in great humility, and that is how we transformed the world. But I think this is, you know, as it were, his ministers are a flame of fire, and he's sent as a servant to the heirs of salvation. I think, you know, those sound like those kind of moments, Joey.
Yes,
you know, I think
you're seeing it. You're seeing it, Joey. You're seeing it.
Well, you know what? I will tell you one thing. I believe in, and I do this, I will invoke the name of God and call upon the ministering and guardian angels to engulf me and my habitat and where I live. Okay?
Right.
And I believe in doing that because I believe as you minister out in supernatural, whether it be you, Phil, whether it be you, Lori, whether it be myself, whether it be Jammin, whoever it is, it doesn't matter. Whether it's one of our callers here that I haven't gotten to, which I really feel, forgive me, Maria from Chicago, because you've been waiting for a long, long time. And I know I feel really bad. This is really, you know.
Call me, Maria.
Yeah, Maria, you need to. But listen, I believe that as we move out in the supernatural, that we need to protect ourselves. And we need to call upon the Lord. We need to call upon the ministering angels, guardian angels, watchmen to engulf us and encamp about us. And I believe it's really important. That's my 5 cents. and that's the way I believe. You know, you guys might not agree with me. That's okay.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you.
But that's what I believe, and I believe that the Lord watches over. But I wanted to know really what you guys believed about about angels. And what you believed about ministering angels and guardian angels, and I think like Pastor Phil thought, and not thought, said, in these moments, sometimes you don't even think of it. You just say, thank you, God. And you know what? That's it. You know, maybe I don't understand it today. Maybe this person, you know what? Maybe this person just came my way. Maybe we can be an angel. Maybe we can be the voice. Pastor Phil, remember when you were teaching about dreams? Remember my friend that called in? She said, now listen to this, Lori. Listen how awesome this is. She went to a Baskin-Robbins. Very simple, yeah? But she had gotten a certificate for, you know, buy one Sunday, get one for free. Okay? So she's there in line, and there's a woman in front of her, and she feels led to tap the lady on her shoulder and say, would you like a Sunday? The lady turns around and she says, what? She says, would you like a Sunday? Because I've got... Now, you know what? Some people think I'm nuts by saying this,
no,
but you know what?
You're not nuts.
This is an act of God. And you know, and even, and you know this, Phil, because, and you gave me a story not that long ago about that gentleman that reached out to one of these preachers that was screaming, and even though you guys don't agree with him, basically he approached them in love saying, would you like, can I get you a cup of coffee? Do you want a sandwich or something like that?
Right.
And I know Lori has said the same thing.
Yes.
We need to care for people, and that's what it's all about. So I guess the biggest takeaway that I've learned tonight is on my side, okay, is, and I know a lot of people have learned a lot of things. My biggest takeaway from here, from both of you, is you know what? We need to lay down our labels, and we need to be living our life as people that walk in love.
Right.
You know, we need to stop all this, I'm this, I'm that. Who really cares?
No,
if you're not walking in love, you're nothing.
You know,
you're nothing.
Tonight, Joey, tonight my daughter said something to me before the show. My daughter Yvonne, mother of Aaliyah, said, you know, Mom, if you had given me $1 million, it wouldn't be worth anything. You gave me a heart.
Mm.
I said, I know, Yvonne, what you've done. She goes into grocery stores, does the same thing like this woman in Baskin-Robbins. Somebody couldn't pay for their groceries. Give them to her. My daughter paid for them.
Wow.
What? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My daughter, Yvonne Michelle. She's named for Joan, Avak, and Michael. And also Maria Yvonne Michelle, her name is. She's named for the three. My daughter, Yvonne, said this tonight to me. Joey, I'm going to give you her telephone number, too, after the show. You call her when you want. And she said, you could have given me nothing monetarily in this life. What you gave me is the heart. I started to cry. And tonight you've spoken about it. It's the gift of the heart. In that the fire does dwell. And it will never stop. And it will keep you out of evil hell.
Mm-hmm.
You said it, Joey. And I love you both very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be happy if you ever want to have me back.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and Phil too. And you know, I just think it's really important that, you know, two hours, folks, has gone by just like that.
In a twinkling of an eye, Joe.
In a twinkling of an eye, and it was for a purpose. Things don't happen just as circumstance; they happen for a reason, and the reason is beyond what we could even imagine.
Right.
Because we don't know. But you know what? What happened tonight needed to happen, and what you know what's going forth, and the prayers that for Boston and all the things that we talked about tonight are going out, and you know it's awesome that we were able to come together. folks, I need you to just once again tell Lori and Phil how much you love them. And again, I want to, before the show, we need to go quickly. We have 2 minutes. Lori, tell people how they can get a hold of you. Phil, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
978-741-9297. Call me at my home. My home is your home, too.
Okay. Phil?
Okay. The Gathering at Salem.
Yep.
SalemGathering.com is our website.
Yep.
That has all the contact, email, phone number, stuff that's
okay.
on.
Okay.
Magica.com, too.
Magica.com. And tell us where Pickering Wharf, tell us the address. Or...
At 63R Wharf, W-H-A-R-F, Wharf Street on Pickering Wharf.
Okay.
And Pastor Phil, come and see me Thursday.
I will.
And, folks, I also want to tell you, this Thursday, I will be with Terrell. I'm talking with Terrell, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Friday, Greater Good Radio Ministries at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. And talking about spiritual gifts. And you know what? I have loved tonight. I pray for blessings upon every single person that called here, upon Lori and upon Phil. And as we go out, let's go out in love. And remember, folks, this is what it's all about. And really, this is what the show is all about. So until the next time, blessings to everyone.
Thanks for joining us on Live from the Bay with Joey.